Chapter 31. Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky felt the waves of nausea and dizziness coming faster now. She was slumped in the back seat of the van parked in front of the Pitti Palace. The soldier seated beside her was watching her with growing concern. Moments earlier, the soldier's radio had blared, something about a costume gallery, awakening Elizabeth from the darkness of her mind, where she had been dreaming of the green-eyed monster. She had been back in the darkened room at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, listening to the maniacal ravings of the mysterious stranger who had summoned her there. The shadowy man paced at the front of the room, a lanky silhouette against the grisly projected image of the naked and dying throngs inspired by Dante's Inferno.
"Someone needs to fight this war," the figure concluded, "or this is our future. Mathematics guarantees it. Mankind is hovering now in a purgatory of procrastination and indecision and personal greed. But the rings of hell await just beneath our feet, waiting to consume us all."
Elizabeth was still reeling from the monstrous ideas this man had just laid out before her. She could stand it no longer and jumped to her feet.
"What you're suggesting is
our only remaining option," the man interjected.
"Actually," she replied, "I was going to say criminal."
The man shrugged.
"The path to paradise passes directly through hell. Dante taught us that."
"You're mad."
"Mad?"
the man repeated, sounding hurt.
"Me? I think not. Madness is the WHO staring into the abyss and denying it is there. Madness is an ostrich who sticks her head in the sand while a pack of hyenas closes in around her."
Before Elizabeth could defend her organization, the man had changed the image on the screen.
"And speaking of hyenas," he said, pointing to the new image, "here is the pack of hyenas currently circling humankind, and they are closing in fast."
Elizabeth was surprised to see the familiar image before her. It was a graph published by the WHO the previous year, delineating key environmental issues deemed by the WHO to have the greatest impact on global health. The list included, among others, demand for clean water, global surface temperatures, ozone depletion, consumption of ocean resources, species extinction, CO2 concentration, deforestation, and global sea levels. All of these negative indicators had been on the rise over the last century. Now, however, they were all accelerating at terrifying rates, their slopes becoming nearly vertical in the last 50 years. Elizabeth had the same reaction that she always had when she saw this graph, a sense of helplessness. She was a scientist and believed in the usefulness of statistics, and this graph painted a chilling picture, not of the distant future, but of the very near future. At many times in her life, Elizabeth Sinsky had been haunted by her inability to conceive a child. Yet, when she saw this graph, she almost felt relieved she had not brought a child into the world.
"This is the future I would be giving my child?"
"Over the last 50 years," the tall man declared, "our sins against Mother Nature have grown exponentially."
He paused.
"I fear for the soul of humankind. When the WHO published this graph, the world's politicians, power brokers, and environmentalists held emergency summits, all trying to assess which of these problems were most severe and which we could actually hope to solve. The outcome? Privately, they put their heads in their hands and wept. Publicly, they assured us all that they were working on solutions, but that these are complex issues."
"These issues are complex."
"Bullshit," the man erupted. "You know damned well this graph depicts the simplest of relationships, a function based on a single variable. Every single line on this graph climbs in direct proportion to one value, the value that everyone is afraid to discuss, global population."
"Actually, I think it's a bit more..."
"A bit more complicated? Actually, it's not. There is nothing simpler.